Good morning. So sometimes I just talk before I fully think things through. And we had a men's meeting, and I think I mentioned something like, oh, if both Jim and Kevin go down at the same time, we better have some of the men practice giving sermons, so we had that covered. So unexpectedly, the elder said, you bet. Who's going to go next week? And my hand was very slow going up. Ryan, the brave deacon, his hand went up, and he did it last week over in the other room. And that was nice. That was nice. Him going for, I volunteered for second. That was no problem. But he went first. And it's a comfort to me to know that amateur giving a sermon, is not fatal to either the sermonizer or the audience. So good. We're here to continue Kevin's series on heroes of the faith, Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And we're towards the end. Let me read to you where we are. And what more shall I say? For the time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and of the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, let me read that again. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Okay, cool. So I'll hit pause here, and I want to give a related example. Roger Bannister. Okay. In all of recorded history, no man had been able to run the mile in under 4 minutes. It was called the 4 minute barrier. Some said it was a biological, a physical fact that it just couldn't be done. And then in 1954, Roger Bannister did it. He ran the mile in 3 minutes, 59 seconds, 0.4. Very cool, very cool. Now, I don't know how long recorded history for such things is, tens, hundreds, thousands a year, don't know. It's a long time. A long time, but for all that time, the 4 minute barrier stood. Do you know how long it took for the barrier, 4 minute barrier, to be broken again after Roger? 2 months. Do you know how many men have broken the 4 minute can't be done barrier since Roger Bannister in 1954? 1,400. So before Roger, zero. after Roger proved that it could be done, 1,400 men have done it. Very cool. I don't know the psychological and emotional ins and outs of it, but having someone go first, having someone run the race before you and prove that it can be done is a great emotional and motivational benefit. So let's bring this to the book of Hebrews. Now, the book of Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians, okay? So Jewish Christians are racially Jewish, and they used to be, they're not anymore, but they used to be religiously Jewish. Now they're Christians, of course. And they're in a hard spot. They're in a hard spot. So in the Jews' mind, the world of people is broken into two types of people. There's the Jews, and then there's everyone else, Gentiles. And these Jewish Christians were getting persecution and pressure from all sides, from both types of people, all types of people. The Jews were saying to the Jewish Christians, come back to being a Jew. And if you don't, you'll be shunned. The business or other types of contacts you have in the Jewish world, cut. And of course, you also have physical persecution, as we see in the book of Acts. Pressure to go back. The Gentile world, and let's just look at the Romans. The Roman officials are looking at the Jewish Christians and saying, okay, you've convinced me. Jews and Christians are two separate things. Got it. Being a Jew in the Roman world, that is legal. This Christian thing, not. So you need to be going to the city altars and worshiping. You need to be giving a little sacrifice for the good old emperor. Why wouldn't you? Are you not patriotic? And the Jewish Christian, or yeah, the Christians, Jewish Christians, couldn't do that. And so you have social pressure on them. You have fines. You have imprisonment. You have physical violence and even unto death. There's a lot of pressure on these Jewish Christians. And they're getting a bit wobbly. They're shaking a bit because it's a lot of pressure. Therefore, the letter to the Hebrews. And the letter to the Hebrews, the main theme throughout the whole book is this. Don't go back. No, don't go back to being a Jew. And it has several arguments underneath that. Don't go back to being a Jew. Christianity is a million times better, and here's why. And then there's another argument that says, don't go back. Look at how far you've come already. Look at what you've gone through already. It'd be a waste. Don't go back. Keep your faith. And then in chapter 11, it's a related theme. It's don't go back. You got this. You can do it. And you know how I know that you can get through this hard time with your faith intact? Because it's been done before. Here's this list of heroes of the faith, men of faith like you, who faced impossible odds, like you believe you are. Men of faith who are facing terrible trials, like you. And yet, through their faith, they got through it. And you know what it says there? At the end of that paragraph, it says, having gained approval through faith. They were approved of by God. They did it. So can you. And it's like we're talking with Roger Bannister. It's an important thing to know that it's been done before. So Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, these are heroes of the faith, men of faith, heroes. Now, what they're not is superheroes of the faith. They're not action movie stars of the faith. They're not demigods of the faith. They're heroes of the faith. Men. James Bond, 007. He's an action movie hero. And he faces impossible odds every movie. He faces terrible trials every movie. Okay, that I can see that. And at all times, he's brave. At all times, he's decisive. At all times, he's cool. There will never be a scene of James Bond accidentally coming out of the bathroom having forgotten to zip his zipper. That won't happen. And because of all that, he's absolutely useless to me as a role model. I think he's cool, but I can't reach that level. That's beyond me. That's beyond me. But for example, this Gideon guy, first in the list, this Gideon guy, I can identify with. I can identify with him. Let me tell you a little bit about Gideon. Nice and short, hopefully. So Judges 6:14. So the Midianites, big tough army, comes in and they take over Israel and they're oppressing the Jews, and the Jews are getting tired of that. So they call out to God. So God calls out to Gideon, and he says, well, the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the land, from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Then Gideon said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. The Lord said to Gideon, go, defeat that army. And Gideon said, are you sure you meant to die on me, Lord? I'm weak. Well, okay. Gideon, though, is a man of faith. He puts a sacrifice down to the Lord. You're talking to the Lord. He puts a sacrifice down to the Lord. The Lord burns it right up miraculously. And that puts some backbone into Gideon. And he goes to his town and he tears down the idols. Late at night when no one's there, but he tears down the idols. And then he goes out and he blows his horn and calls in all the fighters of Israel into an army. Good. And he has an army and he's ready and he's looking over and I don't know what he's thinking at this point. But this is my version of what he's thinking. Okay, so you got the big old army there and you got us here. I don't wobbly. If he's wrong, if he messes this up, these boys will die. He'll make it worse for Israel. Is this wobble, the indecisiveness. So he calls up to God and God, don't get mad. I just want to double confirm that you want me to take this army and go against the world-class Midianites. Just confirming. So I'm going to put a fleece out on the ground. And when you bring the dew in the morning, have the dew on the fleece but not on the ground, and that'll tell me it's confirmed. Okay. Well, the Lord does that. And Gideon sees that, and he's still a bit indecisive. Lord, I don't want to make you mad. I just want to double, triple, quadruple confirm me, these guys, against the army. Going to put the fleece on the ground again. You bring the dew, but this time put the dew on the ground all around, but not on the fleece. And God does that. And you know, that was enough. That was enough for Gideon. And he was ready to go. And God said, nope, not yet. You got too many people. Gideon, tell the boys that anyone who has knocking knees, anyone who's nervous, go home. And Gideon doesn't question. He does that. And all but 10,000 go home. So Gideon's ready to go. And then God says, no, you got too many. I want you to test them down by the river, have them get a drink. And Gideon doesn't question. He does that. And they go. The army goes and gets a drink, and all but 300 drink like normal civilized people. The 300 lap up like a dog. And so with those 300, the rest go home. So Gideon and 300 are to go against that big old army, and Gideon doesn't question. He's ready. And he goes, and he conquers, and he gets rid of the Midianites and frees Israel. Absolutely impossible, but through faith in God, he got it done. Now that's a good story. I like Gideon. And one of the reasons is I can identify with Gideon. It could be me if God had called me and said, Jack, can you go take out the Soviet Union? I might say, Jack Campbell? You sure you mean? Just like Gideon did. If I was right before the great battle, and all these people were defending me, and every the nation was people were dependent on me, and the nation was dependent on me, and I would hesitate. I'd get indecisive. I'd want double, triple confirms, just like Gideon. So I'd identify with the guy. But then something else you can see in that story is his faith in God grows throughout that story. And he goes, and he does the impossible. And if he can do it, then maybe I can handle the things that God has put in front of me. And that's the great benefit of having this cloud of witnesses before us. Let me finish the chapter 11 for Hebrews. The writer goes on with this. He says in verse 11 and 39, and all of these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. And then Hebrews 12 and 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance, the race that is set before us, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So we have a leg up on these heroes of faith, because we have an example, the best example. We have the best example there is. The Lord God, Jesus. Jesus was a man. Jesus was as human as anyone in this room, even my son. And when it was hot, he sweated. When it was cold, he shivered. When he had walked long distance, he was tired. Throughout his life, there were temptations, just like us, just like us. Now, he didn't succumb to those temptations, which proves that it can be done. But he was tempted just like us. And he had before him an impossible task and terrible trials. And in fact, he's looking at what's coming, and he sweats blood, and he worries, just like any of us would worry. And he says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me." But being a man of faith, he finishes that sentence with, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." And he goes forward, and he goes through the terrible trials, the beatings and the mockings and the torture and the death upon the cross. And you know what he does? He blows through the barrier of death. He comes out of the tomb alive. Died on the cross. Comes out of the tomb alive. He blew through that barrier of death. And you know what that means? That means it's possible. That's possible for you, me, all who follow after him. We can do it too. We can go through the barrier of death to eternal life. It's possible. And so the advice of the author of Hebrews is keep your eyes on Jesus' example and run the race. Be true to Jesus. Keep your faith. Don't go back. Go forward to Jesus and victory, eternal life with the loving Father. And that's the message of Hebrews 11. Okay, if you will pray with me for just a sec, I'd like to thank God. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the wonderful examples of the men of faith before us, especially God, thank you for your Son. Please be with us and guide our step so that we all may end up with you after this life is over. In Jesus' name.